Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That word of God which forms the basis of our reflection is the lesson read previously, and we'd especially like to focus on this portion. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick. Sometimes a small event has very large consequences. Think, for example, of the seminarian whose mind goes blank on the Greek final. But being a righteous seminarian, at the last minute God has mercy, he remembers the verb forms and passes with a fine grade. What appeared like an eternity of punishment now appears like a good world. His professor is now noble. The seminary is good, and he is saved. Small things count. Indeed, I think at a very human level, small things immobilize us. A splinter in a painful place can make our whole body ache, or a toothache can penetrate and throb so that we can't get anything done. Moving from the mundane to the universal, small events like what happened some years in a small laboratory outside of the University of Chicago has changed the world for all of us. For now we have nuclear energy for good, but also the aura of enormously destructive, numerous weapons. Little things can mean a lot. In the case of our text, I would suggest that a little thing can mean everything. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored. This miracle of Jesus, the healing of the withered hand, is not dwelt upon at length by most commentators. They spend far more time with the Sabbath and speculating on its rules. Indeed, the higher critics dismiss it as folklore, and even among those who believe the sacred scriptures, this is viewed as one of the less noteworthy of Jesus' mighty deeds. But I would submit that for the eyes of faith, this small event opens up all of reality. As we look and see the Lord of all creation compassionately attend to this need of a man unknown, we see here in miniature the redemption of all creation. Only Jesus of Nazareth, the one who would go to the cross for this and every man, could stretch out his hand. Only Jesus of Nazareth, the one who would be raised from the dead on the third day, only he could do this small thing. Only Jesus of Nazareth, who would ascend to the Father's right hand, only he could do this. And only Jesus of Nazareth, the one who will restore his body and our body at his return, only he could do this. Our blinded age needs to see that whole and healthy hand. For it is so absorbed in self that the good reality of God is dismissed. A chapel service at a seminary. The world misses that what is happening here is more meaningful than the stock market and world events touted and passionately worried about. They need to know that it's here that the one who healed the hand still heals. By his grace we have seen that, and we rejoice and we come and we will return and return and return to the one who healed the withered hand. For we know it was he who established the holy ministry. He called the 12, and today he calls men to announce who he is, to hold up that healthy hand and to spend time with it. Time telling about the one who could do such a thing. Reflect for a moment and ponder what that hand means and how the one who healed it has now called others to employ their hands. It was a pastor's hand that poured the waters of baptism over your head and over mine. And in the Trinitarian name that he announced in, with, and under that water, he united you, he united me with the one who can heal hands, but hands that point to that greater wholeness of being joined to him. It is a pastor's hand that offers us the healing body and blood of Christ. A healing that goes beyond the moment. A healing that points to his presence now and forever. It is a pastor who reads and speaks of the life of Jesus so that the coherence and wholeness of his being is offered to the people. Not an acculturated Jesus. Not a trivialized Jesus. Not an entertaining Jesus, but the one who can heal the withered hand. What a calling to come to chapel, to confess, to worship. These little things in the world's eyes are cosmic events for us. They are cosmic because here the Lord of all creation, just as he came to that unknown person, comes to each of us. Like the seminarian's mind who was suddenly clear, here our minds are cleared of the clutter that descends from our culture. Here we see the healed hand, and here we see God, the blessed and holy Trinity. And here in Christ, God stretches out his hand, and he gives and he gives and he gives righteousness, innocence, blessedness, peace. All are ours in water, word, and wine. The prince of this world cowers in fear when you come to receive these gifts. He fears that time when your hands will bestow these gifts. Our seminary has seen the meaning, and by God's grace it stretches from that fount to this altar, to this word, and into eternity as faithful pastors go forth to hold up Christ. May God attend each of you with his Holy Spirit. May this year he lead you here over and over and over with hands that are empty, indeed crippled in a way more severe than this man's, by our own sin and by our turning in of ourselves. And then with empty hands, let us see them be washed clean, clean in the blood of Christ, and then filled to be full and healthy distributors, so that one day your hands will overflow with those good gifts that Christ has bestowed here. God grant it to each of you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.